Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Praise God. We thank God for allowing us to get to another Thursday where we can study His Word. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to be able to get together and study your Word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G., it's good to be back. Hopefully he had a nice R&R, rest and relaxation, and renewed and fired up and ready to go. We thank God for just allowing us to be able to have some time to recoup, because I think sometimes we don't realize we need time to recoup. And I think everybody that's ever been in ministry understands, amen, that sometimes you can get run down and you need to be able to step back before the Lord steps you back.
That's
you
right.
Indeed.
Man, even Jesus would go and rest. Yep, so that's what we need to do. Or if the Lord will sit you down so you can get refreshed and refocused.
That's right, that's right. And you want to make sure that you take those times to get refreshed, because we all know that we are still human. As much as we operate in the spirit, we have this gift in earthen vessels. In other words, we're still in the flesh, and we have to recognize sometimes the flesh needs to take a break, and we get refreshed and we get renewed, and we can come back and get back on the battlefield. And we were in Acts 16 the last time we were together, the Acts 16 chapter. And we're talking about Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, as they were imprisoned As they were in prison, they were carrying out the word, the will of God, in order to reach a multitude of people that needed to be saved. And they started off the journey at the beginning of chapter 16, where they were going to one place, and then a man of Macedonia called them, or in a dream that said, come help them. If you go back to Acts 16, verse 9, it says, and the vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And so the Holy Ghost was leading them, and they were trying to go to a place called Mysia, and the Spirit suffered them that they couldn't do that, and so they ended up going to Macedonia. And so the reason that they had to go to Macedonia, because there was someone saying help in Macedonia. And so the ministry of the Christian is based upon the will of God. And so what you have to do, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit to say the ministry is based upon the will of God. And based upon the will of God, that's where I'm going to go. And the outcome, you might not know it, but God will reveal it to you in time. And I think, Sheila G, that's one of the things that we as believers and followers of Christ, sometimes when we don't see, don't understand the outcome, that we're a little hesitant, or we're a little reluctant, or we're not so enthused to go do it because we can't see the outcome. Whereas God knows the beginning and the end at the same time. And so that's where your faith kicks in. That's where you're listening to the Holy Spirit comes in, to be able to say, okay, I'm in the ministry of God. God wants me to go do this. He wants me to go do this. I might think it's for one thing, right. But ultimately God wants it for another thing. Sheila G.
Amen. Yeah, we try to apply human logic to supernatural vision, and we can't do that because God's guidance or vision for us, only he knows, and it's supernatural, so we can't use our human logic to try to understand it. And there's this phrase that we've heard other ministers say where it says we live forward but understand backwards. But that's because God tells us to do, and he wants us to step out on faith, and that's trusting in the supernatural and not relying on trying to apply human logic.
Yeah, and sometimes you think that you're using the human logic, but when you step back and get in tune with the Holy Spirit, what'll happen is the Holy Spirit will have you doing things, and people will be like, well, how is he doing that, or how is she doing that? And it's like, it's not me, but it's the Spirit in me. And I think a lot of times that happens with our attitude, and our attitude. And I always laugh at Dr. G when he says, I'm gonna pray on him. In other words, he's not gonna cuss him out. He's not gonna fuss him out. He's not gonna give him a bunch of yelling and screaming. But he says, I'm gonna pray on him. And it's like, that's got to be the Holy Spirit, because in the flesh, in the natural way, it's like, I'm gonna cuss you out and kick your butt. But The end result of that, cussing somebody out and kicking their butt, is not the result of praying for them or praying on the situation. Help me out, Dr. G.
Well, you're right, and I'm still doing it. Because when I think back, when I first began to pastor, I did not want to go to D.C. I knew about D.C. I knew how the people were in D.C., that was not where I wanted to go. And what happened? The Lord sent me to D.C. and sent me to a church where there were the people were so out of touch with the Lord, they were doing their own thing. But I had to learn rather than getting mad, rather than getting upset and showing, because I was born in D.C., grew up in Southeast, and, you know, fight first, talk later. But I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because I had to learn how to relinquish my emotions to him and allow the Spirit to guide. And I took a beating. But when I look back at the church now, I can understand better why. And even now, I still have to be guided by the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen. And that's so important, to be guided by the Holy Spirit, because ultimately all of us want the will of God to be done, but the devil will try to provoke you into doing things in the flesh instead of doing things in the spirit. And that old man, that old nature that we have, also will kick up and try to get you to do things that are contrary to the word of God. So we have to be careful. And in this 16th chapter, we see Paul and Silas use what I called on our last time we were together, Sheila G, what they used was prayer and praise mode. Prayer and praise mode allows you to be able to operate in the spirit and to be able to walk in the will of God, because you're in tune with God through prayer and praise. But if you don't know anything about prayer and praise mode, the enemy have you out there looking silly and looking like anything but a child of God. Sheila G.
Amen. And that prayer and praise mode is what strengthens your faith, because sometimes you can do either way. You can do it your way and just, like, fly off the handle, or try to fight, or try to do like Peter and cut the man's ear off, or you cannot do what you're supposed to do out of fear, and that's not trusting the Lord either. When you know there's times where God says, I want you to do the following, but you are in yourself saying, well, people are going to react like this, or they're not going to listen to me, or they're going to act like this, and I just don't feel like, here we go with the human emotions, dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that God is telling you to step out and follow this way. And so it happens either we don't obey, or we don't do what God, and don't have the Holy Ghost boldness to step out on faith and do it even when it's not popular, or even though we know we're going to get flat, like what happened with Paul and Silas, that there will be consequences. But in the end, if you trust in God, you're going to win. But you don't want to go through it, or you fight. But at the end of the day, that prayer and that praise is what gives you that Holy Ghost boldness to, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the flack that you're going to get from man or from people that
mm-hmm.
you trust, God is going to bring you through.
Amen, amen. So let's go forward to verse 24, and we'll see right before they go into prayer and praise mode the situation that Paul and Silas are in. So verse 24 says, who, having received a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So they were in the most secure place in the prison, and they had been beaten, and they had been bound, and they had been placed in the innermost portion of the prison, and they were under a watch where they were in a position of impossibility. But they didn't look at their situation as being impossible, because they knew that there was nothing that was impossible with God. And so what they did was they began to encourage each other by going into prayer and praise mode. And it's important for us to be able to encourage each other, because a lot of times, if you're by yourself, you can get into a depressed mode. You can get into a mode of woe is me. You can get into a mode of, you know, I don't feel like it. But if you have somebody, a partner, a prayer partner, someone that you could touch and agree with, what happens is when you begin to go into prayer and praise mode, what will happen is you'll encourage each other. When you're encouraging each other, what happens is you begin to reflect on the Spirit, which says two or three are gathered in his name, that he's in the midst, and you begin to start calling on the name of the Lord in prayer, And when you begin to start calling on in prayer, you begin to start praising him. When you begin to start praising God in the midst of your circumstances, in bonds, beaten, and in shackles, what happens is it changes the dynamic of your impossibility to a thing of all things are possible through Christ that gives you the strength. And so when we looked at this in our last Bible study, what happens is in a moment where they could have went down and said, man, we thought we were doing this, it's over, we didn't got beat, we didn't got put in shackles, we didn't got put in the middle of the jail. I don't know about following God. I don't know why he got me going through this. But instead of going into that mode, they went into prayer and praise mode in verse 25. And in verse 25, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. In other words, at the most darkest point of their missionary journey, they began to start giving God, going to God in prayer, and began to start singing praises unto God. And what happened is, in the midst of that situation, those that were in the prison and those that were the prisoners and those that were the guards began to start hearing them give God the praise in the midst of this tough circumstance. And so when you begin to standing, amen, that in spite of all these things, God will be on your side. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God will allow situations to come, but God won't allow situations to overtake you. And when you begin to understand that God won't allow situation to overtake you, then you can begin to start praising God in spite of. And so when you learn to start going to this prayer and praise mode and praising God in spite of, what happens, other people will recognize. Other people will see, and other people will begin to start saying, what is it that she has, or what is it that he has, and that in the midst of the impossible, they still can give God praise. Sheila,
amen. Amen. Are we back on the line?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. See, Satan started acting up and caused our phone to disconnect, but that's okay. We gave him praise anyway. But we heard
that's
everything
right.
that she said. And that's why we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. And the reason why we're ambassadors for Christ is people are watching us. And when they see you giving that prayer and they praise and they know that you're going through, they're like, okay, I can relate to how we're going through because we all have troubles and trials. But when they see how we rely on the Holy Spirit and we may have tears, we may be unhappy, but we still have joy, they want to know what we need to do and how they can get some of that as well to be able to help them. And that's how we draw others to Christ. I remember way back when Pastor first became Pastor New Birth, everyone would always come up and they would say they had a concern or they had a problem or this problem's here. And then there's problems with this person. There's problems with this church. People doing this. And the Holy Spirit, took him to the scripture about murmuring and everything give thanks without murmuring and complaining. And the other thing, the phrase that he started having, everybody would say, we're not going to call it a problem. We're not going to look at the problem. We're going to look at the problem solver. So when we started saying that, it started catching on. So everyone started saying, okay, we're not going to say it's a concern. We're not going to say it's a problem. Okay, it's an issue. So they changed the word to issue. But we're going to look at the problem solver. So eventually that flowed all the way through the church. It took time, but you no longer had people complaining about every little thing they would do. Pray, call on the Holy Spirit, the problem solver, instead of looking at the problem. And that is what people will see. It's not so much that we're looking at our circumstance, but how we handle our circumstance.
Amen. And this is in verse 26. This is the dynamic of God, that when prayer in his will, we bring in the will of God, and you're praising him in spite of your situation. God is so dynamic that he can cause many things to happen on multiple levels at the same time that will cause ministry to be advanced, sort of like what you were saying early on in ministry, calling it a problem. You're not calling it a focus on a problem, but you're focusing on the problem solver. And so this is what Paul and Silas did. And then God began to minister dynamically on so many levels. Let's look at verse 26. It says, and suddenly there was what? An earthquake. So God began to shake the foundations of the situation. So when God can shake up the foundation, in other words, it might have been a foundation of serious racism or bigotry or serious injustice or serious lying or scheming or anything that's been foundational or has been in the way of ministry. And God can shake that up. So first thing is God can shake it up. He can shake it up with a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And then what is he doing? And immediately all the doors were open. So not only can the foundations be shaken of all the things that were foundational or problems or obstacles, then what happens is God can start opening doors to new things. And so what he'll do is he'll shake it up, he'll open new doors, and then everyone's bands were loose. And so in other words, he's on a dynamic level that whatever you stand in the need of, whether it's me, you, or whoever in the congregation, once we get in prayer and praise mode, God will shake up the foundations of the things that were causing us issues and problems and dynamically begin to start open doors up in ministry or in his will for everyone who is a part of it to begin to start getting blessed. And that's the way God will be, and that's the way God operates if we would just follow what his word and his examples are to be able to experience. And then once you begin to start experiencing that on a regular basis, like you said, Sheila G., the church was trained how to do this. Now what happens is when these situations come up, what you do is you learn how to pray in the will of God, praise God, until your change comes, Sheila G.
Man, and when I compare it to, they do the praising and the singing, and then they got their breakthrough. And that's what happens. When you do that prayer, that praise, you focus on God, here's the earthquake, in any situation you have, you will get your breakthrough, and you'll know that breakthrough, whatever it is, came from the Lord. That's where you get that peace. That's where you get that strength to go through that storm and come out on the other side. Because, yes, that's exactly what happened. It was like Pastor went into prayer. He said, Lord, everything, these isms and schisms, every time you turn around, something popping up in the church. And he's like, okay, you know what? We're not focusing on the problem. We're not even going to call. He did. He literally said, we're not even going to say problem. Now we're calling it an issue. And then whenever it happens, we're going to make each one a party of one to go and pray to the problem solver. And it went from heart to heart to breast, and over time, you just didn't hear that anymore. It's like, oh, okay, we're going into prayer. But that's how you get that breakthrough, by that prayer, that praise, strengthens your faith, and then God shakes that earthquake of whatever that storm is, and then you got the strength, the energy to see it through. Then others can see it as well.
Amen. Dr. J, Dr. G.
Well, Sheila's right. You know, the thing is, we get so focused on the negative of the problem that, you know, we forget all about what God can do.
Right.
And you have to refocus that attention back on the problem solver. You know, and the thing is, I don't care how much these Christians say or church folks say they love the Lord, blah, blah, blah. You know, they easily can get their minds off of the Lord. And so you have to refocus their attention back on God. You know, the same God that they keep praising to and singing about and talking about, he's so great. Well, prove it. And if the thing is, if we look at our world, you know, the Lord is trying to shake things up now.
Right.
And
things
are just not working the way that the politicians think. The religious, I mean, people are beginning to kind of come back to the reality. You know what? We better start praying.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm reminded of many of meetings our church administrator was in, and she said, we're gonna put on our Christian hat. In other words, don't put on that fleshly hat. But we're going to put on a Christian hat. In other words, we're going to deal with this godly. We're not going to come in here in the flesh, but we're going to come in here and we're going to put our Christian hat on and we're going to deal with it in a Christian manner. And that sets the tone for the whole meeting. It sets the whole tone for the whole gathering where people are saying, all right, we're going to do it God's way. We're going to do it in a way that's pleasing in the sight of God. And when you do it in a way that's pleasing in the sight of God, what happens is those foundations can be shaken up, those doors can be open, and people can be blessed, and ultimately God will get the glory. So back to the word. In order for God to get the glory, he had Paul and Silas going through it. And so they were going through this so that God could get the glory, and those that were in the prison could be blessed, and those that were in charge of the prison could be blessed, and those that were on the outside of the prison can be blessed. In other words, the dynamic was you had prisoners inside, you had the jailer who was in charge, and then you had the jailer's family who was on the outside. So when the prayer and praise mode took place, what happens is those that were in, those that were inside in charge, and those that were outside were blessed because of Paul and Silas's obedience to God. They're willing to trust God in situations that seemed like they were impossible, and have a history with God to know that he specializes in things that are impossible, to be able to say, okay, we're going through this, but we're going through it for a purpose and a reason so that God can get the glory for those prisoners who were inside, for those people who were in charge, and those people that were outside the prison. And so they didn't focus on the prison, but they focused on the one who could deliver them from the prison. Let's look at verse 27. It says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been led or they escaped. And so now you're looking at this thing and it's like, okay, the doors are open, the prisoners can bum rush the gatekeeper, they can leave. It's a dynamic situation. So now you can have prisoners going into the community. You can have them killing Paul and Silas. You can have them killing the jailer. But what God does is he speaks through Paul and Silas, and Paul cries with a loud voice in verse 28. He said, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here.
Mm.
We are all here. So something happened that the prisoners that were in there, they heard Paul and Silas pray, and they said, what in the world is going on? We got to see these folks that are praying and praising in the midst of this. And so they didn't flee. And then on top of that, Sheila G., they told the jailer, don't kill yourself. So they're saying, well, wait a minute. What is going on? These are things that we've never seen before. We've never seen this before. And so when you begin to start walking in the will of God, things that you normally see, things that people normally do, God will begin to start changing hearts, and God will begin to start changing minds. And that's where we stand in the gap, not so much a physical gap, but a spiritual gap, that when we begin to start becoming prayer and praisers and people that power of God, what happens is you begin to be this conduit standing between life and death in the spiritual realm, where your spiritual walk with God will become so infectious, you become so illuminated with the word of God that you can begin to start causing people to have eye-opening, spiritual opening to say, what is it that these people have that can cause the jailer to get straight, that can cause the prisoners to get straight, that can cause the physical to get straight, that can cause the spiritual to get straight? What is it? And when they begin to experience in that, what happens is now they have been changed, and they can change, their lives can change and speak to someone else. Sheila G.
And yep, and that's in the end how God gets the glory. That's why it's so important for us to share our testimonies. You know, all of us have these things that happen that you know is nobody but God. And when you share
Amen.
Your testimony, it, a lot of times, especially when God tells you, and this is where I was talking about how sometimes we're shy and we don't want to say, but God is saying, I did this in your life because I want you to share it with others because I have a brother, a sister over there that needs to hear that. And they will see me speaking to them through you. And so it's important when these things happen, I call them God winks. When God winks at us where he's done something, you're like, Lord, I know that you had me go down this road, which I normally
mm-hmm.
don't go down, and not go to that
right.
road. Suddenly yesterday there was an accident. Or if I had gone down that road, there would have been an accident. So it's like
mm-hmm.
a God wink. Lord, I know you had me make this phone call at this time because you blessed
That's
me.
Right.
Or Lord, money came through the mail for whatever reason,
yeah.
or there's a bonus at work for whatever reason. That's a God wink. But those are things that we need to share and have that testimony with others so they will stop. And they will say, okay, they prayed. They prayed. It didn't just happen. They saw the preface of it. You know, the prisoners
yeah.
saw the And I'm sure they looked at them like they're crazy. They're like, look, we locked up in jail. You shot me. And you praise to an invisible God. What is wrong with you? And then this happens. So they're witness to it. So it's very important that we share our testimony and those God wings, those things that God has done in our lives, so other people can see it will make them stop.
We lost Sheila G right in the middle of her point. But what she was saying is that it's important for us to Sheila G, are you back? Sheila G? Sounds like we lost her. But what she was saying was that in the midst of going through, she was calling them God wink, the testimony that you have will allow you to be able to influence others, and that's how God gets the glory, because they want to know what you have that will allow you to get this breakthrough in your life, that will allow you to be able to experience God on this level, that in difficult times you still can praise God. And so what happens after they start calling on the guard to do himself no harm, what happens is they begin to speak to the jailer. So let's look at verse 29, and he says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came to them, came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And so Paul and Silas are not giving a credit to themselves,
right.
but they turn around and they give credit to God. And
right.
so in verse 30, it says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Yep.
So now they want this thing that Paul and Silas have. And so what did Paul and Silas say in verse 31? He says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy household. And so here God is getting the glory. Those that were in the prison, those that were in charge of the prison, and those that were outside of the prison. But they gave the glory to God. Sheila G.
Amen. That's what I was saying before our phone disconnected. It's done it twice tonight, so it must be a hot one. But that was what I was saying as far as sharing our testimony, because when people see that and see how we allow the Lord in our life and we're sharing our testimonies, those miraculous things, people will say, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have that joy? What must I do to have that peace? What must I do to have that strength? You know, when they were showing when the bombing happened today at Afghanistan, I fought back
mm-hmm.
to when Dad went to Vietnam and he landed in Saigon, and the
mm-hmm.
airport had just been blown up, and we had to wait days to hear whether or not he was okay. And during those days, I remember Ma pulling us together and praying.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just kind of like, because that was when they would show it on TV, everything that happened. So even as young children, I think I was 10, 9 or 10, you knew what was happening, and you could tell she was distressed. She had tears, but she pulled us together, and we just prayed, and we prayed. And then a few days later, we found out that he was okay. But by doing that prayer, it put peace in that house in the unknown situation. And a lot of, you know, even when we were in Germany, a lot of the officers' wives, and even when Dad was in Vietnam and he would have the Bible study, that is how you share it. That glory, and that touches people's lives to say that it may be a funky situation, it may be a storm, but I saw how you trusted in the Lord and how that peace was around you. So what must I do to be able to have that same strength and that peace?
Amen. And when people have that experience, and Dr. G, I'm sure you've seen it, where you see people are converted, where you see people have actually had an experience with God, where it's a spiritual, it's just not something that, you know, a feeling that they have, but it's serious. You can see the change in people's lives. And when you see that change in the people's lives, they start reaching out to others. They start telling others about this Jesus Christ who changed their life, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And, you know, one of the things that Sheila was talking about, for giving their testimony, you know, we try to encourage people, especially on Zoom. You know, when we open the segment up for testimony, to get people to share what God has done in their life. You know, and folks are so afraid they might say the wrong thing. There is nothing wrong to say. But when you share your testimony, you know, even on Zoom, one young lady about how good the Lord was, and she shared a testimony, and a friend of hers had been calling for several weeks, and she just happened to mention to me that she had been touched and she really wanted to join the church, but she didn't know how. And I must have read the message wrong, because I immediately opened up and talked with the child, and we accepted her right there on Zoom. So you're right. You know, when you share that experience, when you tell folk what God, when you let folk know how God has intervened, and, you know, when I think about the church, you know, when I first got there, their church meetings were rough. And as time went on, I had to take a stand, and I had to change the makeup of our church meeting. And I would open and tell folks, look, we are not going to have fights and all this other kind of stuff. We're going to do X, years later, after some of these folks have died off, left the church or whatever, you know, now we have when we were having church meetings in the building, you know, it might last an hour, hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half, but it would go from A to Z. It was well organized, and I said, well, look, you got a problem? We'll take it up one-on-one, but there are not going to be any issues or complaints about what anybody has done. And people hear that, and that's one of the things that folk are looking for from the church. Mm-hmm. You know, the stuff that we've been through before, you know, people, all that old stuff, and that's one of the reasons why the Lord had to stop people from going to church. It had become, you know, just a routine thing that we would do. And now that a lot of churches are beginning to open, you know, I see some changes. You've got to change things up and make it more real. You know, it can't just be the same old routine where you talk about how good the Lord is, you give a sermon, collect the money, and go on home. People are looking for genuine. And that's something that we've got to show them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So now that they've given jailer and his house the Lord Jesus, they've given him the gospel. It says in verse 32, it says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. So again, this is the opportunity to share the gospel, share your testimony. They gave him the word of the Lord. They spoke to him. They spoke to his house. They witnessed to him. And in verse 33, because his heart was changed, because he believed, what happened in verse 33 says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. So when you continue to walk in the will of God, they experienced the blessing as well. And so I think God is dynamic. So not only were the people inside the jail, not only were the people that were in charge of the jail, not only were the people that were outside the jail, his family, but those who were ministering also received the blessings of being treated, taken home, washed up, cleaned up, given strength. And so God is so dynamic. He has so many ways of blessing at the same time, so that those who were ministering were encouraged. Those that were outside of the church were blessed. Those that were outside of the prison were blessed. Those that were in charge of the prison were blessed. And those inside were blessed, and those that were ministering were blessed, all because they had a relationship with Paul and Silas, had a relationship with God, and stayed in prayer and praise mode. And so be encouraged. And a lot of times people, I've seen pastors, I've seen ministers, I've seen people in church just give up, throw in the towel because they get beat down, they get used and abused, and they feel that there's no hope.
Right.
But when you stick to God's plan, when you continue to preach that gospel, God will renew your strength. That's why the psalmist says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That the book of Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew thy strength, and they shall mount up wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And he lets them know that you're going to get weary, but God will give you the strength. And so now they've been washed up. They've been cleaned up. They baptized. They preached the word of God, folk in the prison, those in charge of the prison, those outside the prison, his whole family. And Paul and Silas are in verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced before believing in God with all his house. And so to go from verse 25 or verse 24, being in the center of the jail, busted up in jail, in the stocks, in the middle of the jail, to verse 34, nine verses later, of rejoicing and believing in God. That's so dynamic. That's so like God. That's so empowering to see that even before they got into the jail, even before they were beaten, that God told them, hey, you can't go over here to Maisha, but I need you to go to Macedonia because them folk need some help over there. They need to hear the word. They need to hear Jesus. And when they were obedient to that, ultimately God got the glory. Sheila G.
And the key to that of what you said is being obedient. And, you know, how you were saying they were just busted. And I remember we used to have this phrase, busted and disgusted. So you can be busted and disgusted, but if you're obedient to the Lord, he will bring you out of the busted and disgusted situation. So if you go back to when they first went into the jail, like you said, if they were feeling sorry for themselves, having a pity party, they wouldn't have been able to see the end come. But they had the faith and the obedience to say, even though I don't understand it, even though I'm unhappy, I'm still going to give you joy. I'm going to give you praise because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And God gave them the breakthrough. And once they got the breakthrough hit from heart to heart, breath to breath. And now everybody has joy. But if they hadn't trusted God, if they hadn't trusted God in the midst of that mess, when they were busted and disgusted, that's when you get the biggest blessing, is when you are knocked down physically in your humanness, but you let that faith say, you know what, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'm just going to pray. Then he gives you that calmness and that strength to go through. And then you get through it and you look back and say, I am so glad I trusted in him.
Mm-hmm.
Because now everybody got joy. But if they hadn't trusted him, they hadn't sung, if they hadn't praised him, they wouldn't have been able to step into the greatness of God, the greatness that God gave them to help draw others. So that you had the jailer's family, the people in jail, them all having joy. Where man tried to hold it down and tried to hold it back, but God is all powerful, and he just showed
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the reason why they were in jail, because they called out the spirit that was causing the people. The Romans at that time, they were making money off a spirit, and Paul called them out because they were mocking God, and so they said, "Man, you can cut off our money. We gonna act funny, and we gonna make up some lies, and throw you in jail." And it's just crazy. It's just crazy to see. Will get influenced by evil spirits that are of God, and treat people any old kind of way. Don't treat people with love, and if you tell them, you know, that you know this is not right, you know, if they're under the influence of demonic spirits, that they go in deeper and they try to come against you. But God used that what they meant for their bad to turn around for their good. And so what God did was he saw a situation where people needed help, people needed salvation, and he sent Paul and Silas to help deliver them from the demonic and the oppressors. And you know, that can be our question tonight. Has God ever sent somebody to help you? Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes we don't think about it. But
right.
But has God ever sent somebody to help you? And some people are so high and mighty, Dr.
Right.
G, they figure they don't need help. They got there by themselves. They
right.
pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. But they don't give God the glory. They don't give God the praise.
Right.
And so we're going to ask the question, has God ever sent somebody to help you? We're going to go to our first caller. The last four digits, 1741. 1741. Good evening.
Good evening, Pastor. Good evening, Pastor Gregory and Evangelist Gregory. Good to hear you all again. Yes, God has, and he does it all the time. Matter of fact, he's doing that right now in the situation that I'm in, and God has placed people there to help me or to guide me. We have to realize some things we know how to handle and some things we don't. And when we pray and ask God, let his Holy Spirit guide us. And God, he will do that. And he will send the people into our life that can be of value, that can help us. And so I thank God for that, because different people have different talents and different abilities. And when we can accept the fact that we don't know everything and we can't do everything, then not only in the physical realm, but spiritually too. I thank God.
That's right.
I can even say tonight that you all are helping me. You know, with
praise
the,
God.
I'm very loud, you know. I thank God for the blessing. Because there's many things that you all have shared throughout the years, when during the course of a week, that you have said, and it has come back to me. The Holy Spirit has brought it back to me, and it has strengthened me. I remember certain words and certain testimonies and scriptures and things.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank God for that.
Amen.
And we need each other. And
amen.
I think when we can just say, Lord, I don't know. I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then that's when God can step in and help us. And no, we don't make it by our own by our own strength. Some people think that they do, but we don't.
That's right.
And,
mm-hmm.
A lot of failures are people who feel like they don't need anybody. And then later on in life, their life is so lonely, so depressed,
mm-hmm.
so sad because they have shut people out of their life that God has wanted to put in their life to help them. But I just thank God for the blessing. And one of the things that he shared with me here with Paul and Silas was when they lift God up and met the need, as you said
mm-hmm.
before, Pastor, the people were in need. And as they met the needs of the people, God supplied their physical need. And so that's a lesson to me. When we do the will of God and lift him up, then God going to take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it seems like we might have a struggle or we don't know how we're going to make it out of this. But God is going to take care of us. If we be obedient to him and do his will, he's going to take care of us. And he tells us that in his word, that if we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, then that's going to be added unto us. But, you know, I have to constantly remind myself of that. You know, we know these things, but we have to keep telling ourselves and reminding ourselves that God is our keeper, God is our preserver. And I thank God for unity, for Christian unity. I thank God for the saints, because that's what get me through when I can share others, hear the testimony, be encouraged through the word. That strengthened me. And I thank God that it not only strengthened me, but it allows me to strengthen somebody else. And I don't have to sit and say, woe is me, and go through all this pity party.
That's right.
Take my mind off myself and think about somebody else. And when we begin to share, then we can build up one another. And the church is strengthened because there is unity. There is strength in unity. There is strength in your testimony, my testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Because you share so much about God being a healer and how God healed your body when you was young, I can relate to that. I know exactly what you're talking about because I experienced that with my son, how God healed his body, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So as we share these testimonies, it strengthened us, but it strengthened others too. And thank you all so much.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony. The comment just evening. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits 6309. 6309. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, God has always sent someone to help me. Because I can't do nothing without him. He'll send somebody to help you, and it's not always people with degrees and stuff like that. Sometimes it's been my own grandchildren and my nieces and my nephews. Always got that ham in the bush, you see. He always sends someone. It don't have to be nobody that's no scholar. You listen to people, you trust and you believe in God. And when you trust and believe in God, he will direct your path and he will send you what you need. All you have to do is be still and listen.
Amen.
Thank you. Listen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next call. Last four digits, 3343. 3343. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, good Lord. The good Lord just left me. Oh, my God. When my wife hit the bad accident with her foot, I just knew how bad it was, and I saw things, and I saw my mama when she lost her leg and whatnot, and you know how the devil can put things all in your mind, and I saw all these things, and it's, when it's 3 o'clock in the morning and it's pouring down rain and I can't see the road no kind of way, and how I'm going to get to the hospital, she calls me and tells me to come and get her and bring her home. You know, the devil gives you all kind of thoughts in your mind, and I saw kind of thing, and I just couldn't see the road. But the more I got out in the road, the clearer it got to the hospital. And when I got to the door, I just felt all in my body that they're going to take my wife's leg off. And I just saw all kind of ways. But thank God they put in her leg now, and she's doing well, and she's doing all right. She's kicking now, so she ain't too high, but she's doing all right. And it eased my mind off of Vanny. I'm getting ready to get out and get me a vacation myself because it's about to run me crazy.
God bless.
But thank God for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening.
Good evening. I feel like God does send me someone that can help me at the right time. And it's always on time. It could be, I'll be thinking about something and I'll, you know, just keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And it just seems as though it's at that point where I'm just getting ready to be like, okay, I'm, you know, like you said, I'm just going to throw in the towel. That's when he seems to send someone that can help me, you know, rethink or, you know, change the way how I was thinking or how I feel, open my eyes so that I can, you know, see the brighter side of what it is that I'm getting ready to throw the towel in about.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. And welcome back, Pastor Gregory and Evangelist Sheila. It's good to hear you all's voices today. I must say that God has always sent the ram in the bush.
Amen.
Always been there on time. And you all, in my later years, have played a big part of that because in your teachings and the spiritual angels that God has camped around me, my family, and my life, it has changed my life.
Amen.
And God has been so true to his word. Right
Amen.
Now in my life, if I did not know the Lord, if I didn't have the spiritual guidance and love from you all, I don't know where I would be. I mean, my life is not mine. It's
Amen.
The Lord. It is the Lord.
Amen.
A testimony. When my sister told me she had a tumor in her head, and I looked at her and said, me too.
Mm.
Well, she almost fainted. She said, you lying. Here's the CDs. I just had the MRI to test to see if it has grown or anything like that. Well, you, I said, I didn't have to. God did it.
That's right.
God did it. My pastor knew about it, but I told him when it was diagnosed. I said, Pastor, it's in the master's hand.
That's right.
I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to leave it in his hand, and he did what he said he's going to do. I'm still standing, and every day of my life,
God.
I go to him, God, just give me the strength. If you
Amen.
Give me the strength, I'll do the rest. And when you have the life of Christ, the righteousness of Christ in you, he's going to send that angel.
That's right.
You don't have to worry about it. He's got it. And you pass it on, the blessings, to others to build up their confidence and encourage them to stop, as Pastor preached the other Sunday, trusting in man.
Amen. That's
Test
right.
Cares on God and let him and only him. And he'll send somebody.
Yes, he
will. And I love my church. I love my members. And I love my prayer warriors. Because if it wasn't for them, God knows I don't know where I would be. I mean, I have gotten cards. I have gotten money. I have gotten prayers. I have gotten encouragement. And when you can live that kind of life and people think that much of you and care enough to love you, give you what you need in this sinful world that we live in, what more can you ask for? What more can you ask? It's right here in the book. But if you don't take the liberty, the time to open it up and read it and say, God, I thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you. I thank you for all that you're doing for me. I mean, what more can you ask for? But only by you, when obstacles come your way and your friends are falling off on the wrong side of the road, and you can show them what God can do, the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You have not neglected to carry out the wills of God in your life. I'm telling you, this morning I woke up with Tawana. I woke up with Linda. I woke up with Pastor. I woke up with everybody. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's always somebody that's there to lift you up, to lift you up, to let you know you're not, the battle is not yours. It's the Lord.
And
he's so good. He's so good. He's so good. So when you trust him and believe, and when you believe, you receive.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my words. Those are God's words. Those are his promises, and he is a promise keeper. Lord,
yes, he is.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, for every soul on this line tonight. It don't have to be a lady said somebody influential or this, that, and the other. All those prisoners. But when Saul and Paul start praying, heard it. And when the chains broke, hey, didn't he do it?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. God is a good God. We know it, and we are the recipients receiving all the blessings of our Father who art in heaven. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing for me. Because if it wasn't for God on my side right now, Lord, have mercy. I don't know where I'd be. But he says in his word that he loves me, number one. That he would never leave me nor forsake me. He would be with me always. Plus, by his stripes, I'm holding him to it. I'm healed. Thank you all. Thank you all for being here every Thursday. We missed you all. God bless you. God bless you, Reverend. Love you much.
Love you.
Beautiful lady of God.
God bless you.
Has stood by
us.
My God. You all be blessed and stay safe.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. I'm going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, good evening.
Good evening, everybody. I believe the question was, has God placed people in my life?
Yeah, has he ever sent somebody to help you?
Yeah. Yeah, he has, man. Oh, my God. I know I wouldn't be here if he hadn't. You know, I think sometimes early on, at least for me, I was always it was just weird because it was like I always thought like God was going to do it or just something magical or whatever. And I'm like, God is putting people in my life and I don't even realize it. You know, I'm asking God for things and asking him for help. And the whole time help was right next to me. I just never reached out, or help was a phone call away or a drive away.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I never tapped into that resource and continue to say, when I started taking this journey seriously, when I started having a relationship with God, I could start to hear God more. I could start to feel God. And then I had a different lens on, and I started realizing like, yo, like God's probably like, how much help do you need? Look around you. And I started realizing I had men of the cloth that I could tap into. I had a brother I could tap into, a mother. I had friends. I had people who served as mentors to me from when I was younger. But I think I put limits on these people like, nah, God, that ain't what I need. And then I realized that was exactly what I need, but I had to step out on faith and kind of let people know like, hey, I need some help. Something's just telling me I can come to you and talk about certain things. But it was just having a relationship with God and realizing that we ask God for so much, but sometimes the answers are right in front of us, but we don't know it, you know, because we don't like the way that the vehicle maybe God put it in or the way it looks or how they talk to us. And I've learned, and I've had to accept this for myself, like, when people talk to me and get on my case and they kind of give it to me like straight and just rugged, sometimes that's the way that I respond and I receive it. So, of course, I'm looking for some angel to come down and be all nice and pleasant, whatever. But it's like for me, when I need to get my act together and stop feeling sorry for myself, whatever, I respond to the tough love. I respond well to the tough criticism. So, of course, when I'm thinking God, I'm thinking about like, God, you ain't going to send it like that. But then I realize he's sending me help in the way that I'm going to be receptive to it, and I'm going to receive it well so that I can get through this storm, be better because of it, and prepare me for future storms. But I started putting limits on God and started saying, well, and telling God like, no, God, that ain't it. That ain't what you want. And I realized that was, you know, what I needed. But, you know, thank God for God. I mean, I don't know how to say it, man, because
Amen.
God
Amen.
Continues to put people in my life and they've been true resources to me and people I can call this day. I mean, I'll even say it. I mean, Pastor Kason, you know the relationship you and I have, Sister Gregory, Pastor Gregory, we all have a strong bond, and I have an individual relationship with each of you, but each individual relationship is just as strong as the next. And just like I know you guys can call me, I can definitely call you guys, and I thank God for you because I consider you all resources and angels that God has put in my life to help me along the way. And I just, you know, take the time out to thank you guys, because we've all had some heart to hearts and some real conversations, especially me and the doc, Pastor Gregory. We didn't have some real conversations in that back office, you know what I'm saying? And even in his living room, we didn't have some talks and on the phone, but I thank God
Amen.
For him, you know what I'm saying? I love him like a father and love all of you, like, you know, spiritual mothers and fathers. But, you know, I just thank God that he's allowed certain individuals to be in my life, because if you think you can sign up to be a Christian and give your life to Christ and think you're going to get through this life and this journey alone, you're not going to get very far, and you're not going to last
Amen.
Very long. You're going to need help. You're going to need resources. You're going to need people in your life to help you along the way, because we're human. We live in this world. We live in this flesh. We're going to have days where we're not our strongest. We're going to have days where we're weak and we're weary and we're going through so much, but you got to put your pride aside. You got to just realize like, hey, I need help. I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to just whatever, you know what I'm saying? But I think sometimes we get in our own way because we feel like we're a burden, or we feel like God needs to crack open the sky and make all of these grand things happen for us to kind of see the
mm-hmm.
sign. But
mm-hmm.
just be at peace, you know, just have that relationship with God, and then God will reveal to you that everything you've asked him for, you've had all along. You just haven't chose to tap into it. But yes, I know for myself, first and foremost, that if God had not put individuals in my life and sent people to me, I wouldn't be on this call. I mean, it's just simple. It's just as simple as that. I don't know where I would be, but I definitely know I would not be on this call this Thursday. But that's all I have to say. But excellent, excellent question. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. Dr. G, final comments and prayer, please, sir.
Well, I was sitting here thinking, and I've got to share this one. This past Saturday, I took Sister Gregory out to Hunt Valley in Maryland, and I think it was Saturday morning, I had gotten a text from one of my young men, and I haven't heard from him in almost a year. The last time I spoke with him, he was in a bad car accident. And although, you know, because of Zoom, you know, folk don't call in, you don't hear from a lot of folk, he said when he texted me, you know, I was on his mind. And so he reached out and, you know, told him to give me a call at a certain time, and he did. We talked, and he didn't really want anything. And his question was, you know, he had been praying for some things, but they just didn't seem to come around. So I told him to change your prayer. You know, pray, Lord, what is your will? Whatever you want me to have, you give me that. And he said, those are some wise words. And, you know, and I told him to keep in touch with me, and I had to encourage him to, you know, get into your word. You know, I try to send folk daily breads every quarter or whatever, make sure that folks have that word. And it's up to us to continue to encourage folk, because we get into our, we get lazy, we don't do what we should do. And these are newborn Christians. And so we have to continue on to go where the Lord wants us to go, even though we may not fully understand why. And the thing is, the Lord will put us in places sometimes and situations sometimes that we just don't have a clue. But if you go and if you be obedient, the Lord will reveal it after a while. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just one more evening. Father, we pray that something that we've said, something that we've done, has been a blessing to those that have called in. Lord, we thank you for the question. Has God sent someone your way? Father, we thank you for all that you do in our lives. And Lord, we pray right now that you would continue to direct our path. Help us, oh Lord, to be all that we're supposed to be. And Father, we pray that we will be obedient, that we will go where you tell us to go and do as you tell us to do. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.